of, hey, we're a Google shop or we're an Amazon shop or something like that. So I think for most of our customers, they're perfectly happy with it being on Microsoft stack, but kind of at the business level, there's a weird pressure, I guess, to like, if you can not be locked into the one of those platforms could pitch, then that's a more attractive business, potentially more valuable business in their eyes.
Because they want, they want.
Causes us to explore a little bit, but I really don't want to do that development work to like, let's make our platform fully agnostic of whatever SaaS provider. Like that's a ton of effort for zero additional sales in the next year. There's that's sort of, I guess, how we see the vendor lock in, but not so much from like a customer. I think they're all perfectly happy that it's a Microsoft stack because they're all already using Microsoft. So less pushback from them.
Yeah. So I guess like Ryan, this is, would you say this is like a top three pain for you?
It would be three if it's in the top three.
Okay. So,
our main one is like audio quality for us because we've got the unique radio input. That's just so low quality. that's far and away number one. Number two is probably more on the like manufacturing side because there's like there's physical equipment. How do we deploy that? How do we update that? That's kind of ugly. And then we're into the turn taking, kind of like, are we, because we're sort of like a passive listener to the audio stream, half of the conversations are for us. So when is it our turn? We don't know when to jump in. So we've got to rely on keywords and things like that to try to kick it into gear. As far as like, I guess getting at your number one, I mean, for us that it isn't so much about the metrics, but if we were to compute a metric on audio quality and are we getting a good result? Like, I think it's probably less the model's fault and more the source audio that's the problem, but we don't really have a good way to measure that. And that would be, I'm not quite sure how to do it because we're not audio engineers ourselves, but there's an interesting challenge to like, could the system just report that the audio is not up to snuff to help tune the system and identify problems? Because we are getting like, we're getting results back, but are they, how do we evaluate our own audio quality? Not to like compare models or anything like that, but just, are these results likely good ones? Just for our own use. Like, if we're getting 90% success, I mean, that would be amazing. I think we're probably more in the 60-70% range for getting quality transcriptions back.
So this is, are you happy with this ordering, would you say?
I'd be happy with it.
Okay, awesome. I realize I don't know if I actually pressed record on this. I've recorded on
the phone. See the challenge, actually.
Yeah. Recording features. Did I join with the wrong thing? Okay. maybe I logged.
If I click the more three dots in the bottom right, it's got a record option for me.
Oh, really? Okay. Would you be able to press that?
I can. Otherwise. Yep. I don't know where it's gonna end up.
Otherwise, I can. Just,
oh. Okay. It says recording features can't be started until.
I'm just gonna leave and come back quickly. Sorry, Ryan. And
I just. Okay, no, sir. Very close.
Okay, sorry about that. I think I got logged out of Zoom. That's why. Okay.
Recording in progress.
There we go.
There we go.
That was the smoothest one I've done. I feel like usually it's way more complex than that. It'll be like, you got to re-download Zoom and like, you got to do all this and that. Okay, amazing. Thank you, Ryan. Thanks for your patience. Okay, so this one is like gain. So it's like kind of more like what you would get is like kind of, so it's kind of like what would be a benefit to you of like any changes. So some of this is, it's like obviously largely based around the problem. So kind of wanted to do the same thing, just like get your reaction to this, is like, is this the top three thing that you would want out of a tool kind of thing? So like, you've got like a production faithful eval system with clear metrics, conversation should feel instant and natural, teams want to swap, automatic speech recognition. And
yeah, I think so. Maybe start at the bottom of the list. At number three is, we're about to start seeing that. Like, most of what we're doing right now is pilots where we're just capturing the data, but nobody's, no one's analyzing the historic data. Nobody has any idea if they want to, you know, what model is being used, or if they want to swap it out, or things like that. So that's going to be coming. And I think it's, I mean, yeah, and getting back to like, how do we evaluate these things? Like, hey, let's switch you over to this model because it's better for your particular radios, or if it's the kind of after action analysis of the day's transcript. You can take a vanilla model, but really it's going to be a whole pile of prompts and potentially, you know, adding some agent capability, like some MCP, to go and match that up with some other things. So I think we're going to get into that, but it's not there yet. I just know it's kind of looming. I think there's a fair bit of latency. So going off the list, number two, there is a fair bit of latency with what we have. So no, it doesn't feel instant and natural. Mm. So far, it hasn't been a big deal. People talk about it, and then it's kind of like, I guess, the nuanced point that we can sort of explain it away at the moment. But if we're starting to compete with, you know, non-walkie-talkie based ones, I think that, I don't know, the difference will show at that point.
Yeah.
And then the production faithful eval system, difficult for us to test here because we're like, nobody's uses walkie talkies of it until like just do the testing 1, 2, 3, kind of speak into the walkie talkie to make sure it works. So we lack a real store environment. If like our manufacturers were on radios or something all the time, we would just monitor our own systems, and we lack that, so difficult to see how it in a test environment that's pretty hard to repeat.
Would you say none of these essentially would be in the top three things that you would want, basically?
Not yet. I think.
Yeah.
We don't have enough in production that we sort of worry too much about the regression. Like, I mean, the changes are small. Yeah. It's a small enough number of deployments that we can kind of monitor them. And they're friendly customers that we're talking to all the time and we're working with them. So they're, I think that one's not a problem yet. I think once we get past like 20 of these units in the wild, that's going to be too much to kind of have our finger on the pulse of. So, I don't know, 3 months, like for sure, there's going to be a
a problem there if we're going to need metrics coming out of each of those systems to tell us if there's a problem.
Yeah, but not yet. Not yet.
Yeah.
You got other problems right now. Is it, Ryan, would you think it'd be fair to say, I'm just like, I don't know, like, it's hard for me to suggest these without leading you down a path, and I don't want to, but also, no, it's hard to just pull these out of your head, so do you reckon you would have a go at saying what your top three games are, or would you prefer me to just guess at them and then you can say yeah?
No, I can have a go. Okay. Okay, one of them is going to be, you know, manufacturing side of things, just because that is a pain point that we are still, every unit that we've produced, a slightly unique little unicorn, there's something that gets tweaked, so it's not quite as streamlined, just stamp another one out. It's close, but it's, like, we're not quite there yet, and there's, you know, what's the enclosure? Hey, we can't get this one this week, so let's use this other one that's almost the same. So it's not quite, it's not assembly line just yet. So I think we're close. We just need to accept that this is what the unit is going to cost to build and buy the expensive parts that we know we can get. That one would let us just crank these things out and get them into the wild.
So it would be just be able to produce, to be able to manufacture consistently.
Produce at scale,
I know nothing, but whenever I've heard like Elon Musk talk about like manufacturing, I think he didn't always say it's like building it is easy, it's just doing it at scale, which is like the hard bit. I can imagine.
Yeah, so I can build one of these by hand, but I can't build 10.
Okay, so that's number one thing that you would want. So like some magic thing that would just be able to help you manufacture.
The number two would be, and I suppose one and two could swap, but the silver bullet on just audio quality over a radio, a specific model that is tuned to radios, which potentially is something that we could build, but it's trained on static field radios. It's trained on the domain of using a radio in a retail environment, where you're talking about aisles and stock and shoplifters, and that's what the conversations are about. They're, the models that are out there that we're pointing at are amazing, but they're tuned to work for everybody in every situation and not our super specific situation. And I think there's, there's probably lots of knobs and dials that we can turn on individual models that we just haven't had the time to focus on that to just see if it's, can we get what we need out of the, Azure speech to text if we just give it this extra bit of context, or, switch off the Nigella Azure speech to text and turn on, OpenAI, talk to it directly, and now where we can give it more information up front. That's that's certainly something that we ought to be exploring. And then actually something that's like what you guys do is let you swap between all of these models, and you can throw the same inputs at them and just see what gets the best results. Like, you guys support super wide assortment of models. Like, we don't have that, so we don't know what we're missing. If we want to sync up several days to get Google Gemini working, we can, but we've got to go build that into the product just to find out if it's any good. It's hard to just do quick tests.
Okay, awesome. Do you have a number three, would you say?
Number three would be just we'd kind of lack a good management system for rolling out new customers, like management of the SaaS infrastructure. So that it's a bit manual.
Yeah.
It's not hard. It's just kind of, if a human's got to do it, it's error prone. We don't have a system to just press the button and out pops a new store location ready to go. So yeah. Kind of the onboarding side of things.
Yeah. I actually have heard that from other people, actually. Yeah,
sometimes it's pretty easy. Like, if someone's just doing a trial, we'll just add them to our multi-tenant the environment and just drop a config file in place, and it works. It's just, you know, it's manual, but it's pretty easy. We've just gone through, it's not quite ready for prime time, but we've got a listing. It's private at the moment, but like an Azure listing where you can just like add our appliance as an item, and then it spins up all the resources you need kind of as your own little environment. That's ultimately what I think is the future of spinning up our set of resources for a larger organization, like a Target or a Walmart or somebody that needs their own dedicated pool of resources. So that's at least a button click to get things up and running. So we're taking some steps there.
Yeah. That's that. How long does it typically take? I mean, I guess you said it varies, but like, so onboard.
With this new button press, it's probably 5 minutes.
Okay.
For it to create all the resources and then they're running live. So it's not going to be like a customer could self-serve to get the resources. There's no particular urgency to like have it be instant. The type of sale and customer we're after isn't, they're not sitting on the website and hoping to press the button there to test out an instance. Because there's the hardware component to it, it's going to be a slow slow process.
Okay. And then is there like a lot of onboarding around like other things, like
at the moment, since we're not giving people access to the underlying data, like we're kind of gatekeeping the data that gets captured and how you go about analyzing it, that all goes to us. Eventually it needs to not do that, and kind of give people tools to access their own data. So at that point, that would become part of their onboarding experience. Like, not only do you press the button to create these resources, but your Microsoft account is how you get into the system, and it gives you access to dashboards and the transcripts and all that stuff. Once we've built that, then that'll be kind of an additional onboarding piece, but the key I think would be to have it sort of be automatic. It's tied into the whole, how whatever the user was that created the resources in Azure, they become the administrator and they can manage their own users themselves. But we don't have to do all that stuff.
Which makes sense.
Funnily enough, that takes us way down the path of vendor lock-in. once we get all those things, that'd be very difficult to spin that off into another environment.
It's always a trade-off, isn't it? we could try and maybe just quickly go and touch on these, and we'll skip the change of the environment. We got 4 minutes, so I'm conscious of the time. Jobs to be done. How do these look to you as top three?
Actually, the VAD one, definitely. There's certainly some background noise that's causing some, like, it's nothing. It's even just silence, but it, like, causes the system to spend money doing translations of nothing. So that one is definitely top of mind. Number two is probably not us, or at least not at the moment, but like a system health, and maybe it's kind of related, but like
being able to have a picture of the system health. Are we getting reasonable returns out of this store today?
Yeah.
Yes or no, and then alert us if it's if something's up. And then, yeah, for number three, I think, yeah, our version of that would just be experiment with more providers.
Yeah.
And see if there's a winner that's like, it's just the best for radios. Or if there's no clear winner, now we need to invest in developing our own models or our own training sets and see what we can get out of those existing models if we train a custom one.
Okay, so would you say for you, in terms of voice AI, your job's to be done, what would you say? Do you think you could have a stab at having a top three?
If we had to. Just think. Jobs to be, yeah, I think the, actually, the so the VAD interesting little comment there, there is an immediate like problem we need to solve is just improve the VAD. Because that's costing money, creating confusion, because there's these inaudible results. We basically just did throw out the nonsense. That would have an immediate impact if we could do that.
Would you say that's your number one job to be done?
I think that's number one right now, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's kind of hurting confidence in the system of all these, like, you know, what was this untranscribed chunk of audio that was 1 second long? And it was nothing.
Okay, super helpful.
Yeah, and then two would be experiment with providers to find the best model for radio use cases.
Yeah, interesting. And it sounds like that is almost like a subset of number one, in a sense. Kind of, I guess. Okay, Ryan, and we're pretty much at time, so I just want to say thank you very much. This is extremely, extremely helpful.
If you I don't know if you want to send me the what was missed on the list, I'd be happy to fill in.
If you, it just changes in environment. I can send it to you. Yeah, absolutely. If you have time, but no pressure as well. This is all. Okay. It doesn't need to be like completely complete. So, and I think this is the least important one for us right now. So, is extremely helpful. So no pressure.
Okay,
and
cool.
Hopefully, you.
Hopefully, it's useful. And anything else I can do? I'm happy to hop on a call.
Thank you. I think are you still happy to continue doing these once a month? We're going to change
this. Course.
Amazing.
And if you want, like if there's a sort of a little homework assignment or something to do ahead of time, I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
We'll prep. If that works for you, I'm happy to.
We are honestly
do it on the fly too.
Already so grateful. So just don't want to take up any more of your time. So thank you very much.
No worries. Yeah. Okay, thanks. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Ryan. Have a good evening. See you later.
Bye.